It appears to be such a simple, straightforward detail in the story, and yet, the minute you look at what Rashi says about it, it opens a string of questions, which in turn gives us a wonderful insight into what Yosef sent to his father when he wanted him to know that he was alive and well, and that Yaakov should come and join him in Mitzrayim. On the pasuk that says, the pasuk describes that Yosef sent to his father 10 donkeys laden with the best of what Egypt had to offer, and another 10 she-donkeys carrying various forms of food. Rashi quotes the words that say, Shalach, he sent, kezois, as such. And he explains, what does it mean, kezois? Kechesh ben azeh, that he sent this exact amount. What is the exact amount that he sent? 10 donkeys. So Rashi emphasizes the fact that 10 donkeys, as described in the pasuk, means 10 donkeys. Which raises a question, obviously. That when you look at it at face value, it would appear that what bothers Rashi is that the word kezois seems to be a superfluous word. It could have just said in the Torah that Yosef sent 10 donkeys. Why does it have to say he sent kezois, like this, 10 donkeys? So that would appear to be what causes Rashi to want to say that the word kezois means this amount. This is the quantity of donkeys that he sent, 10 donkeys. In other words, the Torah seems to be emphasizing 10 means 10, no more, no less, and nothing else was included in the package. It was just these 10 donkeys. Now, of course, that raises for us a very serious question, namely, why would you think otherwise? This is an incredibly difficult explanation to swallow, because what would have prompted you to believe that Yosef sent anything else other than what the Torah specified, which was 10 donkeys? To the point that the Torah had to emphasize and highlight 10 donkeys literally means 10 donkeys. Well, what else would we have thought? Even if the Torah had never said the word kezois, we would have known that 10 donkeys means 10 donkeys. What's difficult about this pasuk? So we're going to see that some of the Mefarshim try and offer an explanation which can never work according to Rashi's explanation. So various other commentaries try and explain that what Rashi was concerned about is, so many of the Mefarshim want to say that actually what Rashi is extracting from here is not that, as you would read at face value, that Yosef sent 10 donkeys literally to his father. Rather, if you go back a couple of psukim, it says very clearly that he was going to send wagons to his father. And picking up on that, Rashi's telling us that the 10 donkeys actually means 10 donkeys pulling wagons loaded with material. In other words, that this term, 10 donkeys, actually means 10 loads that donkeys could pull. Okay? So that's what people want to, some of the Mefarshim want to say, that that's what Rashi is actually getting at. That 10 donkeys is not how many animals there were, but rather it's an indication of how much quantity was included in this gift. The Rebbe is going to illustrate to us that that does not resonate with Rashi's explanation at all. It's quite simple why this does not work for Rashi's explanation. Rashi uses the words. He says kezois means kecheshbon azeh, this number of things, number of donkeys. So Rashi is emphasizing that the issue at hand over here that the Torah wants to emphasize is how many there were. And if in fact, as the Mefarshim want to suggest, Rashi really wanted to reconstitute the pasuk and say it's not talking about how many donkeys he sent, but rather how many loads carried by those donkeys, then Rashi's language should have been not to say kezois means this quantity, it should have said this masa, this amount, this mass, this quantum of things that he sent. Or befrat, Shepashtus l'shein hakosiv shalach kezeis asarach hamarim noisim and goyim mashmosach hamarim mamish. Besides the fact, obviously, that Rashi wants to always stay as close to the original scripture as possible, and the wording in the pasuk says that he sent 10 donkeys, so it's a real stretch to suggest that Rashi believes 10 donkeys does not actually literally mean 10 donkeys. Vilu ha'isa kavenosir kavonas Rashi hamafresh pshutoi shel mikra lepirush hamoitzes akosuv mi pshutoi. If for whatever reason it is Rashi who always explains the simple understanding of the pasuk, if for any reason wanted to tell us something that is not clearly the simple meaning of the pasuk, then hayakosuv esev besignan habor gam leben chomish lemikra. Rashi would have said it in a way that a child of 5 years old is learning chumash for the first time. The target audience of Rashi's interpretation would understand that that's what he's doing. He doesn't say anything like that. He makes it sound like the most simple thing. Kecheshman hazeh, this is the number. So we have to conclude that Rashi feels that the word kezois tells us that it was 10 donkeys, no more, no less, and we're back to square one of the question, why is that relevant and why would we have thought otherwise? In addition to which, we have a few other questions. Gam tzorich lahavin, technical questions. Number one, lama matik Rashi me'akosov gam tevas sholach, haloi loi bor l'forish, haloi hayeta detevois kezois shebikro, detevas kezois shebikro. Rashi typically always puts into the Dibra HaMaskel, the headline of the Rashi, the word or words that he seeks to interpret. Now here the key word is the word kezois. Why does the Torah have to say the additional expression that he sent like this? Rashi says kezois means kecheshman hazeh, this exact amount. Well, if that's what Rashi wants to explain, why does he include the word sholach, that Yosef sent, as the headline? He's not explaining what sent meant. He's only explaining what kezois means. Question number two. Another strange thing. Rashi says kezois means kecheshman hazeh, this exact amount, but then he does something strange. He says, and what is the amount? 10 donkeys. Surely Rashi could have abridged that into this line: kecheshman hazeh asarach hamorim v'goymer. This exact amount, 10 donkeys. Why does he have to say, umahu hacheshben hazeh, what is that amount? Okay, so we really don't understand what's going on over here in this Rashi, why there has to be the commentary in the first place, and certain nuances in that commentary itself that raise eyebrows for us. Now we're going to go to the next Rashi, and that will raise further questions. Following this, Rashi quotes the words in the pasuk that say that what did Yosef send from the choicest of Egypt? And he explains, what is the choicest of Egypt? So he says, Matzinu bi Gemara, we find that the Gemara tells us it means Shashalach loy yain yoshan, shadas kenim noichahimen, that he sent aged wine to Yaakov because old people enjoy and appreciate aged wine. Umedesh agada, second explanation, grisin shel poil, that he sent him split beans. Okay. So that's going to raise for us a series of questions, three questions, and the third question has three components to it. Question number one, Mitzorich Lahavin Aleph, Yodua, Shekesherashim, Meforesh Beis Pirushim Binyan Echad, as if Mepnesh Echad Ma Pirushim Binyan Maspik, Liyashif as a Kosuv, Lefi Pshuta Bichol HaProtim. We already know that any time Rashi uses two commentaries or two explanations of a single part of a Pasuk, it's because neither one of them alone does full justice to the meaning of the Pasuk. And Uma Shekosha Lepirush Aleph, Ein Akshas Lepirush HaBeis. Whatever's weak about the one commentary will be solved by the second commentary. And out of the two commentaries that Rashi will use, the first one he quotes is always the one that is closest to the simple understanding. So if that's the case of Nido in Didan, we have to ask ourselves the question, why does Rashi need two different explanations of what it means that Yosef sent the choicest items of Egypt? Plus, we have to ask, why is the suggestion that the best of what Egypt had to offer refers to aged wine, why is that closer to the simple understanding than the suggestion that it's split beans? So that's question one. Why two explanations? And why does the wine fit the story better? Question number two. Darkei sherashi b'rev ha'makoymus, k'shemevi pirush m'midosh ha'chazal, u'koysev rabbeseinu dorosh v'chayotze bozeh. Usually, when Rashi quotes a primary source, a Talmudic source, a Midrashic source, he usually just generically says, our sages explained. And when he brings two explanations, he usually gives explanation of one, and then he says, Dovacher, an alternate explanation, and then he gives us the second. He doesn't do either of those things here in this Rashi. So generally, generally, Rashi doesn't get into the details. Is this from a Gemara? Is it from a Midrash? He just generically says it's from the sages. Whereas Ulam Minidan Moisif Pishnei Apirshim Shemakirim Bigemura over Medrash Agada. Here you see that Rashi first highlights that the first explanation is from the Gemara, and then he highlights that the second explanation is from the Medrash. Shemizem Movement. Sheidias Mekirish Apirish Shakol Pirish Kantesif Avon Beapirish. So that implies that it's going to help us understand what Rashi intended by knowing that the first one came from the Gemara, and by knowing that the second one came from the Medrash. That adds value to our appreciation of what Rashi is trying to do here. So we need to understand so we have to understand, well, what does the source add to the picture? Knowing that the aged wine is sourced from the Gemara, how does that help us understand it better? Knowing that the split peas are from the Medrash, how does that help us better? And then once we're doing that, we're going to look at nuanced differences between the way that Rashi presents these particular details from the original source, and that's where the three parts. Let's look at three ways in which Rashi seems to depart from his original source, the Gemara or the Medrash. Number one, Aleph. So the first thing is that in the first case, when Rashi quotes the Gemara and he says the Gemara says that what Yosef sent was aged wine, so Rashi says the chap of aged wine is that it's good for old people. Then when he says that the Medrash tells us that he sent split peas, he doesn't explain what's great about them and why they're valuable. Number two, another interesting thing is that Rashi specifically says we find in the Gemara. Well, why don't you just say the Gemara says, like he says, the Medrash says. Why do we find it in the Gemara? And thirdly, and lastly, we have to understand, when he quotes from the Gemara, he doesn't just say, the Gemara says it was old wine. He specifies that the Gemara says that Yosef sent him old wine. Now, surely we don't need that. We know that this is a story of Yosef sending gifts to his father. And when it comes to the Medrash, he doesn't do the same thing and say, and he sent him, according to the Medrash, split peas. It just says split peas. So those little diyukim, those little nuances in the language of how Rashi quotes these sources are all important to understanding the story. So, as often is the case, the reason we get caught up in all of these questions is because we misunderstand what Rashi's bothered by. So we thought at the beginning that Rashi was simply bothered by the word kezois. Why does the Torah have to say that he sent? Kezois. However, once we look at it, we're going to see that there's more to that story and more of a question, more of a basis to the question. And once we appreciate that, we can start to put this puzzle together. The explanation is, what's bothering Rashi is not just that singular word kezois, which appears to be superfluous. But rather, there's a very big question, and actually, when you think about it, and the Rebbe often does this for us, illustrates such an incredibly logical question to ask that very often we get so caught up in the learning of Torah that we forget to ask practical, logical questions. Well, here's a practical, logical question which colors the entire story of what Yosef was going to send to his father. And this is what bothers Rashi. Very, very simple issue. But Parashat Seinu Mesupar Yosef Amalechov Maharu V'alu Elovi V'amartim Elovi Goymer. This is the parasha where Yosef has just told his brothers, quickly, rush back to my father, tell him what's going on over here, and V'achar Kach U'mihartim V'oiratim Es Avihena, and then quickly, as quick as possible, bring my father to me. So what's the direction that things are going? Yosef is setting up the movement of his father and his household from Canaan to Mitzrayim. And it's not only Yosef who does it. When Paro gets wind of the fact that Yosef's brothers are in town, Paro says the same thing. He says, go quickly, get the family, get your father, he says to Yosef, and bring them all to Egypt. Which means that even from Paro's perspective, the goal is send the brothers back to Canaan simply to pack up the house and bring Yaakov down to Mitzrayim. V'lochein tziva leYosef leMolehem zoisasu kru gomer agolos letapchel mishaychem nesosim abichem uvosim. And that's actually why Paro tells Yosef, prepare the relevant wagons that you need to send to Canaan in order to bring your family down. So what's happening over here? What's the context? The context is we're about to move Yaakov's family to Mitzrayim. And then, and not only that, but he tells them, don't even worry about your possessions. If you have to leave things behind in Canaan, it's okay, because we're going to lay out the red carpet for you when you come to Egypt. The best of Egypt is at your disposal. At your disposal. You will be the wealthiest people around. Don't even hesitate to pack up properly. Which means that both the attitude of Yosef and the attitude of Paro is, let's remove any obstacles that might slow the process of getting Yaakov to Mitzrayim. There's an urgency. We want Yaakov to come to Mitzrayim ASAP. So he has the logical point. If that's the case, then they're only going back to Canaan for a relatively short period of time, with the intention to get back to Egypt as soon as possible. So then, logically, they don't need much produce. So how much food do they need? Enough food for the journey there, for the journey back, and for the few days that it's going to take to pack everything up. Far less produce than they required last time they were in Egypt, when they took back for months to feed the family. This is the question that bothers Rashi. So accordingly, it really makes no sense. Because of Mevorah, Yosef Nosan Lechav is called Mashom Le Paritanus Birchem Goimer Upirish Ashi Tvua. Doesn't make sense. Paroi had instructed Yosef to fill all, to literally to load the donkeys that the brothers had brought with produce. So now they already had grain. They had what they needed to get back and more. The Gam said to the Derech, and he had provided, as the Pasuk tells us, food for the journey. This is what bothers Rashi. Doesn't make any sense. They're going for a shorter time. Paro's already laden their donkeys with stuff that they need, food. And they have food for the journey. Why is Yosef now sending more food? For what purpose? They're coming right back. So that's what Rashi needs to explain. What's going on with these donkeys, and why are they being sent, and why is there so much food going to Canaan if it's such a short-term visit? Says Rashi, that's why Rashi has to explain what is kezois min kecheshman azeh, a very precise amount of donkeys, meaning. That's what Rashi says, that it means kecheshbon hazeh. Not like we thought, kezois refers to what's about to be told in the pasuk. Rather, what Rashi is telling us is kezeh means that Yosef sent along with what was already kezeh, what we already know of, that was being sent to Canaan, meaning hainu. In other words, Rashi's highlighting for us that we already know what's being sent back. We already know that information from previous psukim. And now, based on that, the Torah is telling us here what Yosef sent in addition to the produce. The produce has already been discussed. The food stuff has already been discussed. Now Yosef's adding something else. Kazeh, he's adding something which Rashi will explain to us. Vabir, let's just understand it. Bachsuvim shlifneizem super. In the previous psukim, we learned Sheparoi tzives Yosef emor alachecho zeisasu tanu esbeirchem. So we know that Paroi instructed Yosef, tell your brothers, load up your donkeys. Hainu Sheparoi b'sham mekeim achi Yosef niser biyachas alehem me'ein yachsoi lo Yosef, which means that Paroi, once he heard that these people are Yosef's brothers, his family, he suddenly treated them differently. He treated them along the lines of how he would treat Yosef, who he valued so dearly. Therefore, Paro says, I want to treat your family. I want to send them everything that they need for themselves, for the household, for Yaakov, everything that they need. It's on me. because I value you so much, your family has to be treated like VIPs. So I'm going to ensure that they have all the food that they need to take. So now Rashi says something logically has to apply over here. If Paroi, who hears that this is Yosef's family, and that Yosef still has a father in Egypt, and he gets so excited by that he wants to send 22 gifts to Yaakov, so it goes without saying that if Paro is going to send such lavish gifts to Yaakov, Yosef, who firstly loves his father, secondly has a mitzvah of kibud av va'em, thirdly hasn't seen his father for who knows how many years, he's definitely going to send gifts to his father. And not only that, he'll make sure that his gifts outdo what Paro is sending. Paro will send food, lavish amounts of food. So now Yosef has to show that his gift is even more valuable and more precious. That's why the Torah emphasizes that Yosef sholach, he sent, meaning Yosef me'atzme levar mitzivei paroi. This is Yosef's own addition, what he's sending, not what paroi told him to send. That's paroi's business. Paroi said send food. Now comes sholach Yosef, what Yosef is sending over and above Paroi's gifts. What he's going to send will at least match the quantity of what Paroi sent, because his gift is going to be at least as big as Paroi's. Which is 10 donkeys. And not only will he match Paroi, but he'll add another 10 she donkeys to double Paroi, to show how much he respects and loves his father. But whatever Yosef sent is not subsistence food, because that Paroi is sending. So we were worried, why do you need so much food? You don't. Yosef's not sending more food because they don't need more food. He's not sending them things that are staples. He's sending gifts out of love and respect for his father. That's why Rashi Dafka in his Dibur HaMaskil in the headline includes the word Sholach, because that's the emphasis of this pasuk. This is Yosef's choice. It's not Paroi's plan to be nice to Yosef's family. This is Yosef's choice to send of his own volition things that will show his father how much he cares and loves and misses him. Okay, so what did he send? Now we have a question. So what taka did he send? If his intention was not to send food, and it was dafka to send lavish gifts for his father, what in fact were those gifts, and what makes them so special? Therefore, before we get to that, we still got to talk just for a minute about the number. So what does Rashi explain? He says, "Umahu cheshboinoi." Mao cheshboina means, and how do you get to this particular number, and what is the relevance of the number? Something about the number has to be clarified for us. Why? At that point in time, all 11 brothers were in Egypt, including Binyamin, as we know, because that was the whole chap of this parish, of the last parish, is that Binyamin came down. Which means there must have been 11 donkeys. So logic tells us that when Paroi said to them, load your donkeys, if there are 11 of them, there must have been 11 donkeys. If that's the case, we have a problem. The Torah said Shalach Kizois, that he sent the same Kecheshben Azeh, the same amount of donkeys that Paroi sent, but apparently Paroi sent 11 donkeys worth of food, and the Torah is clearly telling us that Yosef only sends 10. How does that match up? Lochen Kosef Rashi, that's why Rashi specifically says Umahu HaKeshben Asorah. That's why Rashi has to ask the question. And how do we get to the number 10? Surely the number should be 11, because Yosef is supposed to match the brothers, and there were 11 brothers. Lahadgish, Rashi wants to emphasize, Shazoa Cheshbon, that 10 is actually not just the number of donkeys that Yosef sent, 10 is actually the number of donkeys that Paroi sent. Right? Hainish, a Paroi Sholach, Rak Cheshbon Azea, Sorach Amorim, Umatanosa Shal Yosef, Hit Imo Lecheshbon Shal Paroi. So that's what Rashi wants to tell us. Actually, Rashi's not telling us that the number 10 in this pasuk means 10. Rashi's using this pasuk to illustrate to us that the number of donkeys, which were not quantified in earlier psukim, where Paroi said, load your donkeys in order to take food, that number was 10. Bekosha kanal, but you're going to say what? Harei hayu yudalef achim. There were 11 brothers. Why would that be 10 donkeys? V'lohem yudalef chamorim. 11 brothers have 11 donkeys. Excuse me. What logical reason would there be for Paroi to only tell 10 of them to load the donkeys and not the 11th brother? Something doesn't add up. Stam mashma the fact that when he gave the instruction, Tanuas Birchim, load your donkeys, without any specification, that implies all of you load your donkeys. So why would Rashi suddenly think that this pasuk means Kecheshbon Azeh is that these 10 donkeys that Yosef sends match the 10 donkeys that Paroi sent, when logically there should have been 11 donkeys that Paroi sent? Omnam Abir Baze Muvim in Aksuvim Akoidmin Oposh to Kol Ka Chachain Tzorich LeRashi LeForshay. The only thing is that actually, again, in the Rebbe's classic style of saying, let's read the story practically. Practically, it's quite obvious from earlier information that the Torah gave us why only 10 donkeys are going back with the brothers. Why? So you might well remember in the previous parasha that when the brothers came down to Egypt for the first time, Yosef detained Shimon and did not allow him to go home. Now we all know that the fact that Yosef withheld Shimon and didn't allow him to go back was firstly for security reasons, because Shimon and Levi together could wreak a lot of havoc. Secondly, it was some kind of a security to ensure that the brothers would come back and they'd bring Binyamin. We also know that it was le'einehem, as Rashi tells us. It wasn't a true incarceration. He treated him very well. He just didn't want him in the mix. In other words, Yosef had no malicious intention. So now he holds Shimon back. He's not going to hold Shimon's donkey back. There's a famine in Canaan, and the family needs food, and Shimon's family needs food. So logically, it makes sense that Yosef would have allowed them to take Shimon's donkey laden with food back to Canaan. So logically, that donkey went back to help provide enough food to the family back in Canaan. But when they came back to Egypt for the second time to collect food, there were only 10 of them who came down. And logically, there were only 10 donkeys who came down. For logical reasons, because that's the easiest way to travel. It's a practical way to travel. On the way there, they had no choice because they needed the food. Therefore, when Paroi says, load up your donkeys, there are only 10 of them. And you might not have thought of that. So Rashi tells us here, Kecheshbon Azeh, Umahu Hacheshbon. Here, when it says that Yosef sent 10 donkeys, it's only 10 donkeys. And Mahu Hacheshbon, what is the calculation? To match the donkeys that Paroi gave them or loaded for them to take back. Okay. So now that we've understood that what Yosef is sending to his father is a beautiful gift rather than basic sustenance, Rashi has to tell us more about this gift. Now that Rashi has framed it for us, that everything Yosef is sending to Yaakov is a gift to show him honor and love and respect. Not basic sustenance in the face of a famine. Move on from that, it's understood. Then it makes sense that whatever Yosef chose to send to Yaakov would have to be something that emphasizes the kavod, the honor of what he's in, something special, something unique, something cherished, something valuable, something rare, whatever it is. But it has to show that this is a gift, to show honor, rather than just being food. So therefore, the first thing that Rashi defaults to is, what would show honor to his father, to Yaakov as an older man? Aged wine, because that is something that is an honor for an older person. An older person appreciates that aged wine in a very specific, special way. So by sending that aged wine, he's showing honor to his father. The emphasis here being that this is something you enjoy rather than something that keeps you alive. So it's closer to the pshat to go this route and say, Yosef sent his father something which would give him pleasure in his difficult circumstances. Ach, im kipir ze matim im klolus teichan aksumim. Now, of course, this is makes perfect sense. So now we get it. We appreciate why Yosef would have chosen this particular gift, and it suits the general theme of showing honor to his father. Still, the only downside of this commentary is that it doesn't fit so nicely with the words that it's the best that Egypt has to offer. Why? Again, for practical reasons, because we don't find any evidence anywhere in the Torah that Egypt is renowned for its wines. In fact, if anything, Egypt is known for grain, not for things that grow on trees and vines. So, logically, old wine would be a great gift and a great sign of honor to his father. Practically, it doesn't seem like it's Tuv Mitzrayim. So that's the downside of this commentary. Lochen Kosef Rashi Shepirzem Ekeru B'Gemora. So in order to satisfy us and to understand why we would even make such a suggestion when it seems that it's practically not the case, Rashi says that's because I'm learning this from the Gemara. And that's why he says the name, the source, where he gets it from, Gemara, why? The primary objective of Gemara is to explain Jewish law to us. So that would explain why the gift that he sent was wine, aged wine, although it doesn't resonate so clearly and comfortably with the words of the Pasuk. Because the Gemara sees things through the lens of halacha, and halacha says that a child has to show respect to a parent, kibud av, which is what Yosef hadn't done for a long time, and now was given the opportunity to do. How do you show honor to your father? You send him something that is beautiful and rare and expensive and makes a person feel good, namely aged wine. So through the lens of halacha, we look for the thing, the item, that is going to most express the halachic angle. How to show honor to a parent. And Rashi Dafka adds words, as we pointed out. We said, why does Rashi have to bring that the Gemara says, she'sholach loy, that he sent him wine? So he says, matzini b'gemara she'sholach loy chulav. Ein ha'kosef stam she'tuv mitzayim yayin yoshan k'mefurish b'gemara. And he doesn't say, just like the Gemara said, that yayin yoshan is tuv mitzayim. He rather says, she'sholach loy, that he sent him me tuv mitzayim. Why? That's why Rashi says the word shesholach loy. Why? Because we know we're going to battle with the words. We know that it's going to be difficult to say that Tuv Mitzrayim actually means wine. So therefore, Rashi says, I don't see it in the words. I see it in the context. I see it in the sholach loy. I see it in the effort that Yosef invested over here to send something to his father. The sholach loy, the fact that he made such a big tumult about this, and he chose to send this thing to his father, that's what alerts me to the fact that it is an item of value, and it is an item which would be meaningful to a man of advanced age, Yain Yosha. Velochen, lastly, on this point, Velochen Kosef Rashi al Pirush Ze, Sherak Matsinu Bigimora, Shematnosim Tumitsamosi Yain Yoshan. Therefore, Rashi says, Matsinu, we find in the Gemara. Strange, right? Rashi normally doesn't say that kind of thing. It'd say, Doshur Azal, or Amr Azal, or something like that. Rashi just said or explained. Why does it say, Matsinu, we find in the Gemara, which is such an unusual intro to the explanation? Why does he say that? And as we've already noted, he dafka adds the word shalachloi. Why? Because mavur lo rak mau tuv mitzrayim ela gam hakavonah shalachloi. Hayne shebedav zeh nikra hatam lichlol shliuch hamatonis liaviv. Because in both of those areas of emphasis, Rashi wants to drive home to us that this is how we know why he sent old wine. Matsinu, we find, not just we read or we explain the words in the pasuk. Matsinu, we find in the gift that he sent, we can find the motivation behind that gift. Why is he sending a gift? Because he wants his father to feel good. What's going to help his father feel good? Sholach loy, when he sends him something which is special. What is special? Aged wine. Only downside of this explanation is it doesn't fit perfectly with the words Tuv Mitzrayim, because as we've already noted, Egypt is not renowned for its wine. Therefore, he has to include a second interpretation as well, which is not as close to the pshat, but at least resolves the issue because it refers to something which is traditionally Egyptian.
So
because the words don't sit so comfortably, tuv mitzrayim equals wine, not so much, that's why Rashi has to bring the medrash as well. So option number two is that it's split peas, which is a kind of grain, really, in a broader sense, but it's the kind of thing that does grow in Egypt, and in fact Egypt's taka renowned for it. According to many of the other Mefarshim, they talk a lot about the concept of why this was specifically, these split peas was like a national food. It was a delicacy of Egypt. And that's why Rashi doesn't have to explain any further. He doesn't tell us why did he send it. With a wine, he had to explain why he would send aged wine, because it benefits older people. But if this is a delicacy of Egypt, I don't have to explain why he sent it. It's obvious why he sent it, because it's a delicacy of Egypt. But on the other hand, so what's the bigger downside of the second explanation? Split peas are a kind of food. And we've already identified that Yosef didn't need to send food to his father. We already said that the gift was dafka to show him honor, not to provide his basic needs. And that's why Rashi has no option but to bring the split peas as a second explanation, because the first explanation suits the theme of sending a gift of honor to his father better than this one does. While we're on that, though, let's look for a second and just understand a little bit more about these split peas. If it's true that, if we go with the Medrash, that what Yosef sent his father was split peas, then it wouldn't be that he sent them just simply because they're an Egyptian delicacy. It would also be because they carry a particular message and a particular value that Yosef wanted to send to his father. That's why Rashi wants us to know Medrash Agoda. Not just say Dovah Achri has an alternative explanation, but Medrash, because the nature of Medrash and the nature of Agoda is you look to understand. So what's the significance? What's the meaning? What's the message behind it? And Rashi wants us to not just simply think that split peas is an Egyptian delicacy, so it's like kind of sending souvenirs home from his time in Egypt, but rather it's got something quite important to do with the story of showing honor to his father. Beautiful explanation. Yosef is acutely aware of the fact that the minute his father hears that he is alive and in Egypt, it will also be bittersweet because he'll find out that the brothers sold him. And obviously Yosef wanted to mitigate his father's pain as much as possible. And even if somehow they managed to tell the story to Yaakov without divulging that they were the ones who sold him into slavery, the fact is Yaakov would still feel tremendous pain over all the lost years, all the time of distance from his son, the breakdown in the family. It's bittersweet, whichever way you look at it. And Yosef would want to lessen the pain. That's one of the reasons why in the wording of the message that Yosef sent to his father, he said, tell my father that Hashem put me into this position. Don't blame the brothers. Don't get upset over what happened. It's a divine plan. Yosef, I'm not upset. I don't have any issues with my brothers. Because I've actually gotten into a position of great prominence, which is where Hashem wants me to be. I have no issues. So don't be upset. How does split peas help this? So besides the fact that some of the Mefroshim point out that split peas help people who can't sleep at night, so it helps them to sleep, which would be suitable for an older person, and particularly if somebody had trauma in their life. The other Mefroshim say that the nature of split peas is that they help calm a person when a person is very stressed. But the Rebbe's explanation is beautiful. Split peas. The split is the key over here. For whatever reason it is, this was a delicacy in Egypt. Dafka, a food that is made out of split peas. That was Yosef's message to his father. Look, in Egypt, this great enjoyment that they have comes from what? A food that splits. To teach us that in life, very often the most incredible, beautiful, powerful, meaningful, positive things originate with a split. Ironically. That's Yosef's message to his father. He says, yes, I know, it was a terrible story. I was separated from you. And there was breakdown in our family. And the brothers and I, we had a fall. It was terrible. But look what came of it. Sometimes out of the split, afterwards, when you repair things, you're way better than it was before. So Yosef wants his father to look in his plate and recognize that he shouldn't be upset over what happened because it was Hashem's plan and it was for the better. And that's why Rashi doesn't have to tell us why he sent split peas, as he had to tell us why he sent aged wine. Because the minute Rashi says it's a Medrash Agadah, he's already primed us to think, delve, look beneath the surface, and we'll find the solution. So what can we learn on a personal, deeper, spiritual, and applicable level? In order to understand what we could apply in our own lives, let's go back a step and ask a question about the suggestion that Yosef sent aged wine to his father. Usually, if you want to send a person a gift to show how much you respect or honor them, you choose usually to send them something they don't have. Because then obviously it will be tremendously valuable to the recipient and they'll get tremendous enjoyment, pleasure from it. So how could Yosef be so sure that sending aged wine to his father would be such a beautiful overture? Who's to say that his father didn't already have plenty of aged wine in Canaan, which, by the way, is a grape-producing land and does have magnificent wine? So what's Yosef thinking?
If
If you want to tell me that Yosef wanted to send his father split peas, which is considered a delicacy, and this is a time of famine, so you send him something which is a delicacy. Wow, amazing. We can barely put bread on the table, and you're sending me split peas.
How was Yosef so convinced that aged wine would be so precious and beautiful and appreciated by his father? Maybe he's got a massive a winery of his own.
So to understand that, Rashi already spoke about it in the previous parasha. If you remember, when Yosef invited the brothers to come and eat in his home, which made them highly suspicious, what's going on? Why does the viceroy want us in our home? It says, Vayishtu Vayishkaru Imoy. They drank and they became inebriated together with him. Says Rashi, it was the first time in 22 years that any of them had a drink of wine. Not the brothers and not Yosef. Adam HaMeshach HaFeish Shonim, Umuvin Shabim Echav Lo Yishasu Yayin Kol Zman Zeh, Vegam Yosef Lo Yishasu. If for 22 years the brothers did not drink wine, and not only that, Yosef didn't drink wine, which implies that maybe the brothers didn't drink wine because they were trying to do teshuva for having sold him. But why didn't Yosef drink wine? Because he was in pain over the separation. So then logically you can be absolutely sure Yaakov did not drink wine for 22 years because he was in so much pain and mourning.
Can you imagine then how beautiful and power and powerful and emotional would be that the first drink of wine he has is wine that Yosef sends him? Beautiful, no? Not only that.
He has another reason why he Dafka sent him aged wine, not just because old people appreciate aged wine, but there's a profound lesson over here.
Yosef's not drinking wine because of the separation, but he has aged wine. Why does he have aged wine? He wants to show his father he never lost hope.
He's sending his father a message to say, look, I didn't drink wine in 22 years, but I kept wine to age so that this day would come. Because I was convinced we'd be connected again. And I was convinced we'd drink celebratory wine together again.
And there's the lesson for us.
A person might be in circumstances of his own doing or beyond his control that caused the person to be in a situation where it's so difficult to do what Hashem wants, to daven, to learn, to focus, to do mitzvahs.
The person can never give up hope. It's forbidden to give up hope. Al-Adrab, to the contrary.
The person has to have 100% faith that Hashem will help you overcome those challenges to be able to do Torah mitzvahs as Hashem wants. What an incredibly powerful lesson. Yosef for 22 years hung on to absolute faith that it's going to be good. And so should we.
Another lesson.
We also saw that Rashi emphasizes that what Yosef sent to his father was his own gift, not what Paroi advised him to do.
Fascinating. Yosef doesn't even ask permission from Paroi. Is it okay for us to send things?
National treasures. Poil.
To teach us, when it came to doing a mitzvah, in this case the mitzvah of honoring a father, Yosef did not care about any restrictions. He didn't worry about any issues that Paroi might give him. There's a mitzvah. You do the mitzvah with absolute dedication. You do it in the most beautiful way possible. You don't need anybody's permission to do a mitzvah.
That is a lesson for us.
Anytime we have the chance or the opportunity or the responsibility to do a mitzvah, don't start making cheshbonis. Does the world approve? Is this okay? What is social? This and that. Right? We do the mitzvah and we don't need anybody's permission and we do it in the most beautiful way possible. When we take that approach, then not only do we get to fulfill what Hashem wants, but our material issues succeed. As we see with Yosef, the only person in the Torah is called Ish Matzliach, the person of success.